Hey, how you doing? So we have a little message for you today called Scorecard, and I just want to disclaim it right up front. This message today is a message for what I call real people, okay? Are you a real person? Are there any real people in this room right now? If you're not real, you probably don't know, okay? But if you know that you're real, just be like, yeah, I'm real, right? Yeah. So I totally get that everybody comes in the church with a little of what I call the Sunday glaze on. You know what the Sunday glaze is? It's a product you buy in the store. It's kind of a sweet, sugary substance, and it goes on as a liquid, and then you have like a short little window of time before it sets. And what you do is you put a little in your car, and you get to church, and just before you get out of the car, you put a little like right on your forehead and kind of let it run down. And then you get out of the car, and on your way in, you look at the first person you're going to smile at, and what you do is you pick the smile you're going to have for the day, right? So you're kind of like, hopefully it's a good one, because you've only got this little bitty window of time. And you kind of set it like that, and you just hold it for a few seconds after that you go by that person, and then you can relax your face, and it stays that way, right? So as you make your way down the hall and into the room and all that stuff, you still have this kind of like perma-smile, but you don't have all the stress of maintaining it. And what most people do is, you know, they go out to Denny's afterwards to eat or someplace, and then they wash it off when they get home. Occasionally, somebody does not wash it off and continues to layer it on week after week after week. That's a bad condition. You don't want to do that. But most of us, underneath our Sunday glaze, we're all still what I would call real people. And if you doubt that for just a moment, you know, humor me for a second. You know, if you're a real person, chances are pretty good. If you go on Facebook, you realize that all of your Facebook friends' lives are better than your actual life, right? Is that not true for pretty much everybody? Is that not true? That makes you a real person. If you have ever been clicking through cable TV or some other such, and you happen onto some reality TV, and you looked at it, and you're just disgusted, you're like, I cannot believe how stupid this is. These people are so dumb that this has to be staged. And then you clicked away, and then you clicked back, because some part of that is a little bit comforting to you, that there actually are people that really are that dumb. It makes you feel a little bit better about yourself. That makes you a real person. True story. But here's a more serious tell, okay? Here's a more serious tell. If you have ever considered this question, where do I stand with God really? Really? It's one thing to be a church person. It's one thing to go and hear the preacher tell you all kinds of good things. It's one thing to listen to people on the radio and sing along with Caleb. But every now and again, every single real person that I have ever met has faced that question another time and another time and another time after that. Where am I with God right now, really? Now, maybe it was that you had some sort of a shock in your life. Maybe you lost a loved one suddenly, and all of a sudden it was apparent how the time really is ticking down on this life, and it's shorter than we realize. Or maybe you had some sort of major dramatic problem in your life, and you wondered, geez, is God really there? I mean, is this punishment for what I didn't do earlier? I haven't been living the way I should have lived, and now he's getting his comeuppance. You know, maybe it was something you heard somebody say on a radio sometime, or you overheard a conversation to your friends, and you started to really think, maybe I'm not as good with God as I think I am, or maybe this is a question I should really start considering more seriously. Sometimes it's a little humbling and embarrassing, but sometimes it's you had a little bit too much to drink one night, and you start talking with somebody, and you start to, you know, get into some subjects of your life that you wouldn't normally get into. That's been an experience for a lot of people over time. I've talked to a lot of people that had a little bit too much to drink, and suddenly it's time to talk about spiritual things, you know. Or maybe it's none of those things. But at some point, everybody has to wonder. Everybody wonders. Everybody checks back. No matter what you believe, everybody checks back and has a little bit of doubts and just a little bit of lack of confidence. Am I in as good with God as I really think that I am? That makes you a real person in my book. And here's the thing. We all try to answer that question somehow. We all have some kind of what I call a scorecard. We all have something that we look at our lives with and we try to evaluate whether or not we're really okay with God or not. Look at the stuff I do. Look at the stuff I've said. Look at what I think. Look at how I am. Look what happens to me. We all have this, and there's an infinite number of scorecards that we may reach for. There's all kinds of them. But the one thing that I think we all have in common, this is my experience, is that we all reach typically for the wrong one first. That's just a human condition. The scorecard that we reach for to evaluate how we are doing with God is usually not the one that God is actually using. Almost always the wrong one. And the result of reaching for the wrong scorecard, no matter who you are, no matter if you're the churchingest church person in the whole wide world, whether you would consider yourself completely and totally non-religious, whether you figure you're just somewhere in between and you're not even really sure what you are, everybody ends up doing one of three things when they reach for this wrong scorecard. I call it the big three. We end up running, we end up chasing, or we end up avoiding. Running, chasing, or avoiding. Now, I want you to take a look at that little survey that you guys filled in. And don't freak out. Like we said, you don't pass that in any place. Okay, you don't put your name on it. Nobody else is going to read it but you today, okay? So you're safe. Chill out if you're thinking, oh, what are people going to... And I want to also say, this is not a scorecard to tell you whether or not you're okay with God or not. So you could just check that off your list too. That's not what this is about today. This survey is actually to help you figure out, just maybe, which one of those big three you personally are most inclined toward as a human being. Because here's the thing, I think we're all inclined, because of our nature, toward one of those areas, one of those reactions when we reach for whatever it is that we evaluate our spiritual life by. And I just want to walk through with you real quick a few of those things. And hopefully you tallied each little section. Did you do that? Did you tally each little section there? There's a little line for a total at the bottom of each of those three sections. And what I'd like you to do is just add up your little number. Add up your little numbers for each section and put the total, okay? And then pick which one has the highest total, and just circle that whole thing. Circle that whole thing that has the highest total. And now I'm going to tell you about yourself. Okay? Everybody loves surveys. Ramon, does everybody love surveys? Everybody loves surveys. So running. Running. A running person, a runner, is someone that looks at everything they believe God wants from them, and then they look at themselves and they say, the distance is too great. There's no possible way. It's too hopeless. It's too impossible. Yes, there are certain pieces of my life maybe that could get better, but when I look at everything that God wants out of a person, everything that God says is good, and I look at myself, I just don't see any way to get from here to there. I don't see how I'll ever come up to it. And it may not be your whole life you do that with, but maybe there's some piece of your life that you're inclined to say, you know what, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm just going to carry on life, and I'm going to keep up the pace, and I'm going to keep my mind off of that stuff, and I'm going to try and enjoy what I can, because there's really no sense in trying to deal with a problem that I just am totally inadequate to fix. And so we end up running. We try and keep a few steps ahead of God all the time. We don't want people to dig into a certain area of our life. We don't want to go near any of that church stuff if we can help it, at least in that one area of our life. We run. We just don't want that. We don't want to deal with it because we think it's impossible. What's the point? If you got the highest total in that first section at the top, I want you to write in there on that line, running, and just circle it. Just circle it. Now listen. They're all bad. And we're all one of them or more. So don't be like, oh, he's saying I'm a bad. Look, yes, you are bad. We're all bad. Come on. So get into it. Just circle that top one. Next comes chasing. Chasers are easy to identify. Chasers are some of the most responsible people that you know. Very, very responsible people. You don't have to, you know, try and push or nudge a chaser to take on responsibility or to try and get out there and do good things. Here's the thing about a chaser. You know, think, chasing, that sounds good, you know, pursuing the Lord. That's not what we're talking about. A chaser is so lacking the confidence in their relationship with God that they've got something to prove. all the time. They're just a little bit nervous all the time. Am I really what I'm supposed to be? Am I really, you know, look back. Was that love that I gave that person? Look, it was full of mistakes. You know, is it good enough? When Jesus looks at this, is my life going to be up to par by his standard? What's he going to say about this? And so they're constantly very, very, very aware of their shortcomings. And they're very, very, very much looking for every possibility to sort of build up a case for themselves. So when the end of their life comes, they could say, well, you know, I didn't exactly come up with this, but look at all this I did. Look at all this. And I need some sort of, they're just desperate for some sort of self-affirmation. Man, if I could just see that I got on top of everything and that so many people were happy, that would be proof to me. I could see that I'm actually a Christian. Whoo! It's not a very restful situation, okay? I'll just be honest. You know what my inclination is? My first inclination is to be a chaser. And that's got to do with, you know, how I was brought up and a lot of other complicated things. But that's kind of where I head toward. Do more. Say yes to everything. You know, you can't say no to somebody or, gee, what's Jesus going to say? Doesn't he expect you to take care of everybody that comes in your path? Come on! That's kind of me. If you got the highest score in that second little partition there, circle it and put in chasing. Now last, okay, if the last one was your highest total, okay, the first thing I want you to do is to add 4 points. Okay, did you hear me? Yeah. If the last one was your highest total, add 4 points. This is why. Because you are an avoider. And avoiders don't see a problem. They look at their life, and they look at what Jesus wants and commands, and they say, problem? No problem. Leave well enough alone. Come on, you can't expect everybody to be perfect. Good enough ought to be good enough. Let's not open up a can of worms we don't need to open up. Can't we just learn to be satisfied? People are too hard on themselves. You make life too hard when you open up too much stuff and you question, oh man, should I have done this better? Should I have done this? You know, did I make a mistake? Yeah, you made a mistake. So what? Come on. God will be fine with you. Come on, just let it go. Just move on. Come on, nobody's perfect. Most men are avoiders at some point, especially, is that not true? Is that, especially when they get married, it really comes out. You know, your wife comes, look, I'm concerned about this problem. What are we going to do about this? This needs a solution. And what does a guy, well, you know, I have had a leaky bathtub for 6 to 8 weeks. And it was leaking before that. I patched it. But it's been leaking for like 6 to 8 weeks now. And, you know, it only leaks when somebody's using it. So, if it's upstairs. So if you're in the kitchen, drip, 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 drip. Oh, somebody's taking a shower. It's like a little alarm, you know. But why is it so easy to just go, well, not today. We got too much stuff going. Not today. Why get into that? Because a lot of us, you know, we're all in some way, some measure of each one of these. We all react to things in life in some measure with all of these reactions. But most of us have one that we really lean toward, one we're really inclined toward. Now, what I want you to do is just park that for a second. Okay, just park it on the floor or next to you or somewhere out of sight. Just park it. Because I want to make you feel better about yourself. I want to make you feel better about yourself right now. We're going to take a little trip back about 2,000 years. We're going to look in the book of Luke. A guy named Luke made an account of everything that he heard about and knew about and thought was important in the life of Jesus. And that's one of our Gospels, Luke. And we're going to take a trip back a couple thousand years. And what you're going to see, this should make you feel better, is that most of us are inclined to use the wrong scorecard. Well, guess what? Everybody else back then was too. When Jesus came on the scene and people wanted to know, how do I know if I'm in with God? How do I know if I'm right with God? Everybody had it wrong. Absolutely everybody had it wrong about how God feels about people, about what he would want for them, about what the grand plan is. Nobody had it right. The church people didn't have it right. The non-religious people didn't have it right. The people that are in between, they're just kind of going along with the flow because they don't know what else to do. They didn't have it right. Everybody had it absolutely dead wrong, except occasionally, just occasionally, somebody showed a little bit of glimmer of hope, and they actually gave Jesus some feedback that said they understood a little bit about what God is looking for. And that's what I'm going to have you look at right now, chapter 10 in Luke, verse 25. Here's an example for you. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This guy wants to stand up. He kind of put Jesus on the spot. You know, look, this guy's big and bad. He's doing miracles. He's got lots of support. People are paying a lot of attention to him. "Hey, buddy, guess what? Hey, bottom line, this is the question everybody wants to have an answer to. How do you know you're okay with God for sure? Bottom line, buddy, how do you know?" Jesus flips it around on him. He asks him, "What do you think? Come on, smart guy. You obviously have an idea what the answer should be. Why don't you tell us what you think?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "This is a sharp guy, by the way. This is a sharp guy. You can't even appreciate it. You can't even appreciate how sharp this guy must be." He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Man. Now, you can't appreciate it because you've heard this over and over before, probably. But this guy is like the religious law expert, and he has spent his whole life being super captain religious, okay, and knows every little ordinance and regulation and why it came to be and how it got there and how exactly you should perform it and all that stuff. He's spent his whole life saturated in the Old Testament, knows all the prophecies, all the prophets, how everything came to be, spent his whole life in there. And in a moment of time, when he's put to the test, he condenses the whole thing down to just these two major points. Love God and care about what God cares about with everything you've got. And care about other people as much as you care about you. That's his answer. This is the whole thing down. It's a sharp guy. A sharp individual. Do you know how many times Jesus asks people questions and they get it right? Read the gospel sometime, all of them. Count on your fingers how many times Jesus runs into somebody that's got it right. This guy stands out. He's got it right. Look what Jesus says. "You have answered correctly." Ding, 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 ding. You got it right. You have it right, my boy. Jesus replied, "Do this and you will live." That's amazing. He's saying, care about what God cares about with everything that you've got. And care about people the way that you care about you. If you just gave God everything that you've got and then asked yourself, if you ran this question through your little life filter when you're making decisions, what I'm about to do, is it going to be helpful to the people around me or hurtful? Is it going to be good for people in the long term or is it just good for me? If you just ran your life through those glasses, he's saying, you got it. You got the whole thing. If you could just do those two things, you wouldn't even need to memorize all those laws and all those ordinances and all that stuff. You wouldn't need all that stuff to coach you along the way. You'd have what you needed in your pocket all the time. If you could just take that on, you'd have it. And Jesus says that in so many words in other places in the Gospels. He says at one point, all the law and the prophets, that's basically all the teachings and their writings and all the wisdom we have from all of God's chosen people through all the centuries. If he says all the law and the prophets hang on these two things, all of the stuff, all of the laws, all of the stuff you've been told to do in the past, it all is really gearing you up to do these two things in the end, is to care passionately about what God cares about and to care passionately about the other human beings around you. And BTW, by the way, they're tied. They're tied. If you care about what God most cares about, you can't get away from caring about other people. Why? What does God most care about? People. 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 Can't get away from it. You can't do one and not the other. Not really. You could love the God with everything you got in you, but if you don't care about people, it's not really true. Not really true. Now, sharp guy, really, really sharp guy, and yet he has a problem. He has a problem. Same problem we all have. I want you to see it. Jesus answers, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." That guy ought to be jumping up and down. Nobody ever gets it right with Jesus. He should be high-fiving. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He should be doing that. He's not. Why? We'll find out. He says, Luke says, but he wanted to justify himself. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Really. What's his problem? What is this guy's problem? Just got the answer, the mystery of all ages has just sort of been revealed to him, and he already had it, and he's been given kudos for getting it. Here's the problem. He's got it, and you and I have got it. We look at what those two things say. Care about what God cares about with everything you've got. And then we look at, care about the people in your life as much as you care about you. And you know what we all do? We all say, I could do the first one, but not the second. I could handle the first one. Love the Lord your God with all your might, strength, wisdom, discernment, everything that you are made up of, all your passion, all your energy. Love God like that. You know what we think? We think, yeah, I can do that. Point me to a church service. I'll be there every Sunday. If that's what I got to do, I'll be there. If you say I got to get my kids to youth group, I'll get my kids to youth group. If you say I need to sing bigger and louder when I come in and I need to sing five songs and not four songs or four songs and not three songs, we can do that. I can put that on my tally sheet. I can make that happen. I can listen very hard to the preacher even when he's boring and not go to sleep. You give me a bunch of things. You tell me I got to pray five times a day. I can do that. If it's just me and God, I can handle that. But we all look around and we look and we see people. Have you met them? They're terrible. They're terrible people. And then we look how terrible the people are and we see us and we go, I know me. I know me. I can handle a great relationship with God. That's easy because we just do stuff that he wants, right? We, you know, show up places. We go to the temple so many times. We bring the goat. We put in the right amount of money in the offering plate. We got it. I can handle that because there's no relating to other people involved in that. If you are telling me that being good with God is being in right relationship with the people in my life, I don't think I can do that the way that you are talking about doing it. It takes too much. It's going to take something I don't have. It's going to take something I don't have. It's going to take more than I've got, more than I am, more than I'll ever be able to come up to. It's a fear. It's a fear. At the base of every wrong way that we look at our relationship with God, it's not that we don't get it. Most of the time, it's not that we don't get it. It's because we're afraid that being in right relationship with God is going to take something that we don't actually have enough of. It's going to take something we don't have. If you're a runner, You look at that standard, you say, you know what, I could be in church, I could be at group, I could be different places, I could even put some money in the plate. Whatever you say it is I got to do to keep God appeased and make him happy, I'll sing the songs, I'll do everything. I'll listen to K-Love even. I don't like it, but I'll listen to it. You know, you just tell me what to do and I'll do those things. But the problem in my life is how I deal with the people. I got people I can't forgive. I got people I can't bring myself to care about. I got people that I just don't like how they rub me. I just don't. They rub me the wrong way, and I'm never going to care. When I see people in need, I just go, it's maybe somebody else. I just don't have it in me. And I don't know what else to do but just keep moving because it's hopeless. If you're a chaser, you're very nervous that you don't have quite what it takes to really have that relationship with God. Maybe other people do it. Maybe it works for other people just fine. And maybe, you know, certain people are just got an advantage. They have a leg up on being able to do that. But there's something about you and you're just a little bit nervous that it's never going to be quite enough and it's never going to be quite pretty enough or high enough or just plain loving enough. And you wonder and you just kind of, I don't know, you know, and I look for things to do and I look for ways to prove it out to myself. Just prove it out to myself. Yes, I can be. But you're always nervous. You're always nervous. You never really truly settled. You never go to sleep quite totally peaceful. God and I are good. And if you're an avoider, you may just deep down be looking at Jesus' standard and saying, well, listen, I'm so far from that mark that, what's the point of even opening up that project? Let's just pretend it doesn't exist. Let's pretend it's not a problem. You coach yourself over time. Listen, it's not possible, so why go to all the trouble? Why make our life more dramatic? Why spend more time feeling guilty? Why spend time doing something that can't be done? Maybe we could just learn to be satisfied. And then you start to look around and try and build a case for yourself. Well, you know what? Maybe I'm not this, but look at all these other redeeming qualities that I have. Look at all the other great stuff. I've been in church for 32 years. You know, I've been volunteering at this shelter thing for a long, long, long time. Look at all the money I've given to something or other over the years. Look at all this other stuff. You know, maybe I do ignore people when they need help. Maybe I am kind of offensive. But look at my track record. I've got a resume. I can go to sleep on that. Maybe. We're all geared naturally to be afraid that being right with God is going to take more than what we actually have. And here's the thing. It's too bad. Because we miss what's in that command that guy recited. We miss it. We don't really understand what he's saying. We hear, love the Lord your God with everything you've got. And then love people as though you care about them as much as you. And we think, that's going to take 110% of what I have. You need to go back. Could we take it back to that scripture, Hannah? Look at it. Does it say, love the Lord your God with all of what you wish you had? Does it say, love the Lord your God with all of somebody better's soul? Does it say, love the Lord your God with a whole lot of strength that somebody else has but you haven't quite attained? Or somebody smarter, somebody better looking, somebody with a better pedigree, somebody with a better background. Does it say love like somebody else is loving, or does it say love with everything that you have? Love with everything that you have. You need to understand God isn't looking for something that you don't have. He's looking for everything that you do have. That should be a comfort to people. That should be a relief. It seems demanding, but he's only asking for what you actually have to give, only what you actually have of yourself to offer. He's looking for 100% commitment. He's not looking for flawlessness because he knows you haven't got it. He's looking for dedication. He's looking for complete commitment. He's looking for a growing relationship. He's not looking for you to become something first that you've never been so that you can come up and be right with him. He's saying that everything you need to be right with God is actually within your grasp. He's looking for 100% of you, not 110, not 120, and not less, but he's looking for all of you as you are right now. Nothing less, but nothing more. Man, if only that guy had known that. If only he had read, if he really thought and considered what that means with all your heart, with all your strength, all your soul, all your mind, all your... Listen, God knows you don't have it all in the bag. You think you surprise him? You think you know something he didn't? He knew. He knew you're a wreck. He knew you're pathetic. But they get pathetic, as Pastor Mike says. Knew it all along. If you read that the right way, you understand. Caring about people is absolutely God's priority for your life. But he's not looking for you to be able to do something you can't do. He's looking for your total devoted commitment. He wants to walk with you. Yeah, you'll work on stuff. Yeah, you'll get better. Yeah, you'll recognize, oh man, I kind of messed that up. You know what? Next time I'm going to look for God to help me and I'm going to get in there with him and it'll probably get better. I won't do it perfect. And maybe after that, the next time, it'll get a little bit better than that. And maybe I'll care a little bit more. And maybe I'll be a little quicker on the spot and I'll jump in there next time. And I won't be so weak or nervous or pathetic or just lack bravery or whatever it is. Maybe, but the question is not, was it good enough? See, when you believe that, when you start to understand that, listen, runners, if you're a runner by nature, if you're a runner, you just get away from that. I can't do it. It's hopeless. I've tried. You don't know how hard I've tried. You don't understand me. Get away. I can't. I just leave me alone about that thing. Listen, runners, what if you could go to sleep at night, wake up in the morning, understanding that Jesus knows, he knows you can't fix it. He gets it. And you could just, instead of asking yourself, how far have I got to get? How far do I have to go? How big did I mess up in the past? How far? Instead of using all these other scorecard measures that you've been looking at your whole entire life, maybe you just need one. Am I all in? Am I all in? Was that everything of me for the Lord in that case? The question is, did I mess up? Didn't I mess up? No, that's not the question anymore. Am I all in? Did I give it everything? Am I giving it everything of me? Chasers, I know you're out there. You won't admit to it because you have kind of a guilt complex about it. But chasers, what if you could go to sleep at night and not sit there awake, trying to sleep but not sleeping, nervously anticipating all of the things and how you're going to get them all done that you've committed to, and how in the world why did you say yes? Oh, it's because I felt guilty about this, I felt guilty about that, I felt guilty, blah, 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 blah. And you're trying to do all these things that you can't really actually accomplish in a right way, but you're trying to figure out how in the world is it possible physically to do all these things. What if you didn't have to do that anymore? What if you didn't have to go to sleep asking, oh, what's the one thing I didn't get done? What's the one thing I couldn't quite accomplish? What's the one thing that people are going to be looking at me and making fun of me, or looking at me and looking down on me for that I couldn't do, I couldn't make it happen? What if you didn't have to do that anymore? What if your go-to-bed process at night was something more like this? Was I all in today? Did God get my best today? Did God get all that I had and was? Did I use everything at my disposal to do whatever it is I thought God would want of me today? Was I all in? Not did I make a mistake, or didn't I make a mistake? Did I do it as good as it could have been done, or I don't know. What if it was just, was I all in at that moment today? Was I all in, and will I be all in tomorrow? Avoiders. Oh, avoiders, you're the best. What if the area of your life that you are avoiding dealing with, whether that be a small thing in your Christianity, or whether that be your life as a whole in relationship to God, what if the thing that you're avoiding, you didn't have to avoid it anymore? What if you could just look up at God and be real and say, you know what? I get this is what you're after, and this is what I am. And I don't have a lot of confidence that I can fix that on my own. What if you could just do that? And what if that was the beginning of being able to confidently look at your life and say, God and I are good. God and I are good. I know I'm not perfect. I get that. But at every venue, every venture, every time I get a chance, I'm trying to be all in and committed. And I look for help, and sometimes I see the help, sometimes I don't. But at the end of the day, I can say, you know what, I did mess it up, or I didn't quite do it the right way. It doesn't matter in the end, though, because I have true peace about the fact that I know I'm okay with God. Because he wasn't looking for perfection and flawlessness. He was looking for 100% dedication, commitment. That's what he wants. And see, that really is the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel. All these people, thousands and thousands of years, all wondering the same thing. How do I know if I'm really okay with the power that be? How can I know? How can I know? How can I go into death not nervous and questioning and terrified out of my mind? How can I know that I'm okay with God? The good news of the gospel is Jesus comes and says, look, believe what I'm telling you. Believe me. Believe that I was sent by somebody that has the authority to do so, to tell you this, that everything that you need to have the relationship with God that you absolutely, totally want at the depth of your soul is within your grasp because of what I am doing. Everything you need to have a relationship with the Father is within your grasp. You have what you need to have that. And what do you need? You need 100% devotion to what he's after. You need to be all in. All in. Everybody has all that you have. Did you hear me on that? He's asking for all that you are and all that you have. Everybody's got all that you have, right? Everybody's got that. Steve, how much do you have? Steve has all that he has. That's all I'm looking for. Ramon, how much do you have? Oh, that's all that you have. Well, that's all I'm looking for. Looking for all of you, all in. So instead of wondering and worrying and living in complete nervousness, I'm going to recommend that you take whatever scorecard that you're tempted to use from time to time, and you just crumple it up, just put it in the trash, Put it in the trash. And I just want to kind of put this out there to you. I'm just curious. If there's anybody in this room right now that from time to time struggles with using the wrong scorecard to evaluate their spiritual life with God. If there's anybody that just looks at, you look at your survey, you're like, you know what, I don't really care, I don't like to live like this, I don't like to think that I do these things, it embarrasses me, or I'm kind of tired of it, it's wearing me down. I'm going to ask you to do something kind of just doofy. Why don't you take that survey sheet, I want you to scrunch it up in a little ball, just do it right now, just scrunch it up in a little tiny ball, scrunch it up. Garbage. And I want you to do what A.J. Mullen just did there of his own volition. I want you to just throw that thing away from you. Just throw it away. Throw it out in the hall. Throw it at me. Throw it out in the aisle. I don't care what you do, but get rid of it. Just get it gone. Just get it gone. Just toss it. I practiced that. You know, it's kind of dumb, but I practiced that last night in my office. I'm just like, you know, what does it feel like? How far? Actually, I want to know how far you could throw it. That's what I wanted to know. Because I thought maybe, you know, I'm just going to get a barrage and you're all going to laugh. But I just threw it. And in that moment when I threw it, I want to tell you, I felt something. I felt a little lift, a little relief. After working for hours and hours, you know, putting this little message together. And then writing out this little survey on a sheet of paper and realize, you know, I've just as much struggle with this as anybody. This is for me just as much as it is for anybody. I scrunched that little thing up and I just went, phew. And I didn't anticipate how that would feel. To just go. But there's something to it. And I just hope that there's something more than a lift in that for you. I hope that maybe that's a refreshing or a re-beginning or a brand new start to how you think about your relationship with God. May you ever, never come back to the old scorecards that we're all born with. May you never, ever come back to those things. And I know that we'll all struggle. I know that those things hold sometimes. But let you forever from this day forward hold on to what Jesus said. The main point is to love God with everything you've got. Care about what He cares about with everything you've got. And to care about people like you care about you. And to forever rest knowing that 100% commitment is sufficient for Jesus Christ to take you to heaven with Him someday when He is ready to take you. I think I just prayed my prayer out loud. I'm going to do it one more time. And I'm going to pray especially for anybody in here that may never have even considered that the relationship with God really is within their grasp. I'm going to pray for you that sometimes live the church life but live nervous, always questioning. I'm going to pray for you even if you don't even think it's an issue. Oh, you know what? This is for somebody else. You know, it's not for me. You know, I got my own life. You guys believe whatever you want. I'm even going to pray for you too, whether you like it or not. Hey, you took a risk. You came here. Come on. What did you expect? So here I go. Lord, I ask today that you would totally ruin and devastate whatever stupid ideas that we come prepackaged with about how our relationship with you looks like. Whatever dumb self-evaluation tool that we have in our hearts and minds, that whatever thing that keeps us nervous, questioning, never really having confidence, I pray, Lord, that you would take that thing and absolutely wreck it and destroy it and get rid of it, burn it up, throw it in the aisle, do whatever it is you want to do, recycle it even, Lord, but let it never come back as the thing that it once was. And I pray, Lord, you would replace our scorecard with your scorecard. Replace it with the one you're actually using. Replace it and teach us to ask the right question. Am I all in? Am I all in? Is what God cares about first in my heart? Is what God wants for the people around me my priority at the core of me? Though I may stumble, though I may screw up, though I may offend people, though I may hurt somebody, though I may not forgive when I should right away, maybe when things come up, I just pray, Lord, that though all those things might happen, that we would never go back to looking at the old scorecard that we made for ourselves out of fear, but we would look to the one that you provided with confidence and thankfulness and a big, fat sigh of relief and go, everything God needs for me to be right with him is in my grasp. I have that. I have all of what I have, and I can always offer all of me. It's not something out of my grasp. He engineered it this way, that every single person, whether they be in good shape or the worst shape in the world, has an equal chance at being right with the one that made them. Let us never forget that. Let us never lose that. Let us never be tempted with any other way of thinking. In Jesus' name, amen.